Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome to Chapter Select at the Movies, the book club for movies based on video games. As always, I'm Jens, and with me, my good friend, Randy Isbell.
I feel like you're getting in more of a flow with that intro. I mean, it's taking us 20-some episodes, but we're getting there.
It couldn't be any worse than the last time we re-recorded.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's only the 15th episode, but still.
It really is just a matter of, you know, how exhausted, you know, if I'm coming out of a long workday. But sometimes we've got to record when we record. Whereas I actually took a nap today in between working and then getting some drinks and a burger.
It sounds way more fun than my day.
Oh?
I drew a map of the world like a fifth grader for one of my college classes.
Oh, cool.
It took forever. Europe and Africa can kiss my butt for how many itty-bitty tiny countries there are, and then trying to find ways to fit in the names. And see, over here at the States, it's so easy. It's Canada and the United States and Mexico. Right. And then if you want to break it down, you break it down. But
you know, enough about work and school.
Yes.
And life. Mm-hmm. You know what's better than life, Randy? Movies.
Sometimes.
And even better than just movies? Movies based on video games. Am I right?
That are not directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
That are not directed by... Thank you. Yes, you're right. You're right. That's... Maybe I'm being too charitable to New Mortal Kombat because it's not directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
This...
That's entirely possible.
Yes. This movie, and I'm very curious where we both stand on this, but listening to different podcasts, including Video Games for the Max last week, where Sean and Mark had Keith from The Outer Haven on, and I listened to the three of them give their reviews. Sean enjoyed it. Mark and Keith absolutely hated it. And as everywhere I go to watch different reviews from different YouTubers and stuff I watch, it is such a mixed bag. Some people think it's garbage. Some people think it's great. Some people think it's better than the original. Some people think it's not as bad as Annihilation, but close.
What?
It's interesting, man.
That's bizarre to me.
You can always tell the people that like us that have watched so many video game movies that our bar is set so low.
That's true. My wife always tells me that I'm being way too charitable with my scores on this podcast.
And compared to the people that watch good movies all the time and then watch a video game movie. I've had that conversation in the last week.
See, to me, this is like almost a real movie. It's almost there.
It's the first 20 minutes, 1,000%.
Okay.
After that, it's a decent video game movie.
But, you know, I haven't actually – it seems like you've kind of sought out people's opinions. I didn't want to taint myself.
I'm always curious. I have my score already set. I just then wanted to know.
I just wouldn't want to inadvertently plagiarize somebody. You know, I wouldn't want to make a point that I heard somebody make on another show. Mm-hmm. So I've had to, like, several podcasts that I follow that have covered this now, because we're late to the party.
Yes.
That I've just got sitting in the backlog, waiting to listen to as soon as we record this
thing. Well, you're going to have fun. If you listen to anybody that's like what I've been listening to, it's going to be fun.
Yep. So, yeah, this one is directed by Simon McQuoid. Do we know who Simon McQuoid is?
So, speaking of not trying to plagiarize people,
uh-huh.
I think it was Kind of Funny who I listened to, and I've just looked at the Wikipedia page, and I agree, but they had brought this up. Without looking, have you looked at his Wikipedia page yet?
I'm looking at his IMDb page right now,
and
he is known for Mortal Kombat.
And
first-time director.
Yes.
Very
cool.
He's
an Australian filmmaker that I guess has done commercials.
He's made a short called The Nighttime Economy, which does not have a plot summary, so I can't tell you what it is.
It's very interesting that he got this role.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm assuming he had some sort of a concept or demo reel that got him in the door because it was so awesome. Didn't he make wasn't there a short to basically sell this concept at some point? I remember something floating on the internet. Or was that something else?
There was a YouTube thing for that I don't know if he made it.
Okay.
I don't know if I've even seen it. I know the Uncharted short was fantastic.
The fact that people are saying this is on Annihilation level is insane. Firstly, it's incredibly competent.
Like, yes,
just the filmmaking itself. I've heard people complain that the fight choreography is bad or boring or whatever. Obviously, it's not the most, it's not Ong Bak, right? But compared to the pathetic fight choreography in the Paul W.S. Anderson movie, it's pretty decent.
So my biggest complaint with the new movie, you're talking about the old movie and the Paul W.S. Anderson movie. I think at least with the Paul W.S. Anderson movie, it stuck with its theme that it knew it was cheesy and over the top and goofy, while this new one felt like it was like dipping its toe in like three or four different genres and couldn't make up its mind. There were times where it felt cheesy, but the rest of the movie felt so serious that it just felt out of place. And that kind of took it away for me a little bit. And then obviously the added main character, which I like the backstory for the main character. And that made me not really be upset that they added in this non-Mortal Kombat character just based on the story they gave him. But his character is so bland.
Oh, I guess I'm the outlier here in that I kind of like that they made a sucky main character who genuinely sucks throughout basically the entire movie.
His special thing is the dumbest thing.
Well, he's a shield. He's a tank. He has a... You know, he has like a metal armor kind
shirt.
Of thing. He turned his is it a shirt? I couldn't tell.
It
like,
looks
was his
like a shirt. It looks like a shirt.
See,
later,
he can basically summon this metal shirt armor around his torso, and he gets these two tanfas. And he's a defensive character, which makes sense for how he is written and how his character arc is all about protecting his family in the way that his father couldn't. So thematically, very consistent characterization.
He was just boring.
He's the boring. He's the guy that all the classic Mortal Kombat characters then get to exposit to about what the story is, so that he can be the audience substitute for us to get the introduction to the world.
I get that, and I do think that this was trying to get Mortal Kombat more mainstream again. But
though I would say I like the character introductions in the old movie better. The old movie did such a good job of showing you everybody in their element and why they're going to the tournament and having them banter together. And while the banter was very obvious and just kind of pointing out things that were happening, there was a lot. I still like the tone of the old movie relative to this. I will agree with you. I don't think it's as inconsistent or feels like it's dipping its toes into three different things. It just, to me, more felt like a movie that's trying to generally be kind of serious, but then every now and then has a little throwback reference to the game, or it has that one character, you know, Kano being the main comic relief guy in this, as opposed to Johnny Cage in the first movie, and having such a focus on Kano's arc and his arc relative to Sonya's, that actually worked for me pretty well. And it seems like he is the fan favorite character in this movie. But I also liked having Jax and his metal arms. You know, that was an important storyline in Defenders of the Realm. Maybe a storyline in the games as well. I haven't really played the games.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
The recent ones. Well, I just...
If the story's
haven't
not
played
in the,
any of the new Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, if the story wasn't in the original three, then I haven't played it. It's been a long time.
So that the Jax thing, but again, it goes back at least as far as Defenders of the Realm. I'm sure it's in somewhere in the games. And it's like his classic arc of him feeling useless until he can manage to control his powers, or he becomes whole again, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I liked having that in there. That's something that I recognized as like, oh yeah, that's a Mortal Kombat story that they did a good job adapting for this.
I do like that in this one, there's a reason why he has the metal arms, unlike mm-hmm. Annihilation when we get to it.
Oh, it's great. It's a great way to establish early on Sub-Zero as a really serious, heavy, even though he sucks at finishing people. You know, for a game whose motto is finish it,
just pushes
Sub-Zero is terrible. He leaves Scorpion's family alive. We should talk about the first 10 minutes of this movie, because it's kind of maybe the best part.
It's so crazy to me that, I mean, obviously I didn't watch it until, I still haven't watched the clip, but it's crazy to me that this was the clip that they put out.
It makes perfect sense. You know, if you're going to market, this is a real movie. Here's like the most artistically, you know, aesthetically nice sequence where in ancient Japan, basically.
But the rest of the movie is nothing like this. It's so good.
Sub-Zero is trying to wipe out the remnants of this guy's bloodline, and they swear revenge on each other and all this stuff. And he finds his wife frozen to death in a big icicle. But Sub-Zero doesn't finish the job. You know, he just leaves a baby alive.
Well, he didn't know the baby was there. The baby was really, really good at being really quiet. And then Raiden heard it cry. So, yes. Do you agree, though, that the first 10 minutes of this movie was the best part of this whole movie?
First 10 minutes, very strong. Very strong setup for what is the main arc and ties very well into our protagonist. You've got basically this ancient rivalry between Sub-Zero and the man who becomes Scorpion once he is sent to hell and crawls back out of hell, and who knows what deals he made down there, but, you know, he comes back having mastered the powers of hell and is now a Scorpion, and they have their final slug out. But then also, Cole is Scorpion's great, 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 great grandson.
Yes.
It becomes kind of Scorpion's second chance to do better than he did at the beginning of the movie for the finale. So it kind of comes full circle. And, you know, Cole has kind of made that transition where he's gone from being a very selfish character to being a character who, you know, lives for others and is there to protect his family and save the world and all that stuff. And Sub-Zero saves his bloodline. And that's the strongest, you know, the strongest through line of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Were you upset that this is Mortal Kombat and they talked about a tournament and we never did the tournament?
No.
I'm not either.
Because who cares?
Because you know that there's going to be a sequel, and the sequel will have some kind of makeshift tournament, I'm sure.
The first movie was so haphazard with its rules for the tournament.
Right.
Where they were already, half the fights were already happening outside of the tournament. Shang Tsung does not care about the rules. He did not care about the rules in 1995? Was that when? Yes. And he does not care about the rules in this version, and it doesn't seem like there are any refs. Doesn't seem like there's going to be somebody who's going to step in and be like, now. No fighting until, you know, normally Raiden is kind of the ref who keeps Shang Tsung in line. But Raiden in this film was very passive.
He was a
and
very
also
dickish.
Just not as powerful as dickish, you say.
He was very dickish. These are the heroes. This is crap. We're going to lose. I'm not even going to train him. I'm going to let Liu Kang deal with these people.
Well, it's a little bit of tough love to help them awaken to their personas or to their powers or whatever you call it in this. We should talk how the dragon marks work.
Oh, God. I don't like this part.
So it's a Chosen One story, which I guess the old movie was too. There is that one scene in the old movie where Raiden talks to the three main characters and basically says, "You are the three main characters."
Yeah.
One of you three will defeat Shang Tsung.
The first one was a Chosen One movie. This was a one was someone was chosen, and then if somebody kills them, then they take it over. They weren't chosen.
They take the mark.
They're not chosen. They just got riddled with the curse. Yes.
This movie is going to set up your plot arc, and it's going to follow through with it. It's going to give you all the steps there, and it's not, you know, it's just like, yep, that's Sonya's... Sonya's story is all about how she becomes chosen by finally defeating defeating Kano, who she has the rivalry with the entire time. So that was quite, you know, people prize unpredictability and surprise and subverting your expectations these days. I don't think there's anything wrong with just kind of doing the expected in the way that's satisfying. Like, I really felt like her character arc, as well as the Scorpion Sub-Zero character arc, kind of gave me what I wanted out of those characters. It felt like a complete thing, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, her arc wasn't bad. I'll admit that.
The whole time I was wondering, because I was like, okay, I need to see this happen at some point, because like, how does the Dragon Mark transfer? Was the thing that was in my head though. Like, how did Kano get it? Did he literally cut a patch of skin of somebody?
They say it in the movie. She was hunting somebody who has the mark, and he killed him first.
After Sonya kills Kano, it just kind of appears on her.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like cutting a patch of skin out of Kano and slapping it on her body, you know? But I like that. I liked Cole's fight against, we need to talk about Goro.
That's what I was going to add. First, I want to go through who is your favorite character and who is your least favorite character in this movie?
I do think Kano is probably my favorite character. Just because they gave him all the funny lines. Mm-hmm. My least favorite is Raiden for being so goddamn useless. He's defeatist the whole time.
To be fair for Raiden, they have lost 9 straight tournaments, so...
Sure. Yeah, okay, yeah, we get to Raiden in kind of a very low place. How about you? Same question.
So Kano, I agree, is probably my favorite, followed extremely closely by Scorpion and Sub-Zero, who I felt those three completely carry this movie, and a slight... what am I thinking of the word? Honorable mention to Cabal. Very short lived, but he was funny. Mm-hmm. He had a couple really good lines in there. And of course, for me, Cole Young was my least favorite character in the movie. Well, Raiden was pretty bad. And honestly, I didn't like the actor for Shang Tsung. And I hated that all he did was repeat lines from the 1995 movie.
He seemed quite bored. He seemed like a guy going through the motions. Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed there.
The most disappointing thing is that both Raiden and Shang Tsung, right, characters that you're happy, okay, they actually, you know, cast someone appropriate for Raiden, mm-hmm. and Shang Tsung is well cast. It's just that those characters are written to be the most joyless, nothing versions of themselves.
I'm hoping, because obviously we had to get the Cole storyline and building that up and having all, like you said, have all the other characters explain to him all the Mortal Kombat stuff. Mm-hmm. That was this movie. I'm really hoping that in the next movie, it's more focused on this rivalry between Shang Tsung and Lord Raiden. I'm hoping that we get a lot more of them going at each other, at least verbally, to make them at least interesting, because they really were not in this one.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll talk the Goro fight.
Yes.
Which Goro did you like better? The cheesy 1995 version or this version?
I can see why people might prefer the 95. I think the face mask, the animation on that rig for the physical Goro in the 95 is super impressive. More impressive relatively for its time than probably CGI Goro now. But that said, I don't hate CGI Goro. I think he looks pretty good. And I think that fight was pretty good. It reminded me of it was like a fight from Neo. Maybe it's just because Cole is using the Tonfas. But it reminded me of my time with Neo, and more so than anything Mortal Kombat. And I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, obviously he's got to like hack off his limbs and does like that jump over him. And I don't know, it's got some good moves. And I like the gore. To me, I generally I'm not the biggest fan of CGI gore normally, especially CGI blood in movies always looks bad when it's just like used for squibs, basically. But here they were really doing kind of almost a grotesquely beautiful, like the CGI gore was really distinctive and interesting to look at.
Yeah, it was nice to have gore in a Mortal Kombat movie. I agree. The only issue I really had with Goro was we never really saw him be able to be a badass.
Yeah,
before he gets
appears
defeated.
And then he gets chopped up.
Though we'll talk about it at the end of this podcast. A theory I have.
Speaking though of the gore,
yes.
My biggest disappointment is that Milena never bites off a head.
Right.
She also, she's like Goro, yeah, where she basically gets defeated in her first fight that she appears in. So we never get to see her finish somebody. And that's very disappointing.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing that all of the good guys won every fight.
Mm-hmm.
The only fight where a good guy lost was Cole in his MMA fight at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Well, and I guess and Scorpion loses a Sub-Zero at the very beginning. But that sets up stuff. But once we got into the, okay, the force field is down, we're all going to fight, there was not a single moment where a good guy lost. And again, I have to establish that because, again, yes, Jax does lose to Sub-Zero too. But once it actually became game time and we had all these fights, it would have been better. Well, at first it would have been better if we saw some good guys lose too. But again, my theories for the sequel kind of fix that.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you annoyed that we spent the whole middle chunk of the movie training?
No, because that was
and hanging out.
Some of the best parts of the movie. The fact mm-hmm. that they put in... I hated some of the fan service in this movie.
Really? Can you give me some examples?
Finish him. Well, finish him was more natural, but
that's
the
fine.
Flawless victory thing just felt like it was so forced in there.
Oh, but you can't tell me. You know what's pretty good, though? When Kano says Kano wins.
Because that's more of his dickish move. Like,
yeah, it fits perfectly.
Flawless victory was probably the one that just bugged me the most. It's like, I know it's Mortal Kombat, and that's something that's mm-hmm. been said in Mortal Kombat, but it's
did not bother me
so forced in there. And then the other one was Shang Tsung saying, I'm going to take your soul, which, why isn't he doing that all the time if he can just grab somebody and do it? At least in the first movie, they had to be defeated for him to take mm-hmm. a soul. So there's a couple times where I'm like, that's a little rough. But no, but back to the training thing, the one thing that I really, really loved that they threw in there fan service wise was the spamming of the leg sweeps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I popped. I completely lost it. And Haley looked at me funny. Because I'm like, we all, anyone that played Mortal Kombat 2, we all did that move. So no, I mean, maybe a little bit too much training, but again, that's any, I mean, obviously this is not a superhero movie, but any superhero origin movie, half the movie is spent building them up and training them. So
which finisher is your favorite finisher?
I do like the overall cheesiness with the Liu Kang dragon thing. It looked over the top.
Liu Kang's dragon looked great. I think the special effects in this movie are pretty good. I think the visual style is pretty good.
They're hit or miss.
Mark complained to me about the color grading. Like he thinks of this as a brown and gray movie, kind of in contrast to our review of the 95 Mortal Kombat.
He's not wrong. I mean,
I thought there was a lot more color in the palette. It was not just a gray. You know, there were purples, there were blues.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong in the fact that, again, we spend a good chunk of this movie training, and they're in a mountainside. So, of course,
they're
going to be brown.
When they're in Raiden's camp, the movie is quite
brown. You're not
going to
have colorful there.
I have really no complaints. It's a very slickly put together, competent movie. So it's already better than anything that Paul Debris Anderson's ever done, just in terms of craft.
I'm a little bit more nitpicky because I've already seen it 3 times. But
oh, wow. Well, then why don't you describe it and let me stop embarrassing myself?
No, it's not even that. I mean, I don't think you're that wrong. But there have been issues that I have seen. And again, I don't want to really get into it because I have listened to podcasts and there have been things that have been brought up that I didn't realize through the first two.
Just bring it up. I mean, you can credit.
But I want to say it's kind of funny that I was listening to, but Cole, like I said, I was upset with the Cole Young power, which even the first time I watched it, I'm like, this is stupid. But as far as special effects goes and production goes, you go back and watch him fight with Goro when he gets the power. And the whole thing is when he gets hit, it kind of mm-hmm. lights up and is kind of storing that power, right? Then mm-hmm. go watch him fight the rest of the movie. And every time he gets hit, nothing happens.
Okay, so they just forgot about that.
They either forgot or they ran out of budget and didn't put it in.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, again, it was a little hit or miss as far as production goes for me. But, again, if this is his first movie, I'm not going to be too mad. My question mm-hmm. to you is, where do you think they go with the sequel?
They go find Johnny Cage. That's what they say they're going to do.
Well, not just – I mean, obviously. So, are we just doing a tournament then? Where are we going to spend 30 minutes collecting a couple new Earth fighters? And then are they fighting a new group of baddies or what? Do you think?
Shang Tsung has only been banished, so they can bring Shang Tsung back right quick.
Well, no, he just got sent away until tournament time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Raiden banishes him to Outworld or whatever.
But, so here's my thing. We're going to get a tournament-ish, mm-hmm. a lot of fights. You get Johnny Cage, you get a couple other of these newer Mortal Kombat characters that I don't know. I'd have to look up the whole... The roster is ridiculous anymore.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're not going to get a full new set of baddies. We'll get some, but at the end of that movie, Shang Tsung goes, hell is just another dimension. And you mm-hmm. see all of the baddies that got destroyed get swooped back. I think we see many of them come back. The only one I'm not sure with, well, yeah, I am kind of sure with, is Kano. Just because at first he's not part of that group. But we don't see Kano with his metal part around his eye. Which, one of the criticisms I've heard about this movie through the podcast is people getting upset with the power that Jax gets. Just from the, oh, he has tiny little arms, which is funny. And then his power is to make them bigger. Because they're like, well... If he didn't have his arms ripped out, what would his power be? It's like, well, Kano wouldn't have got his eye power if he didn't get scratched in the face by a reptile.
Yeah, exactly. His power would have manifested in some other way. Yeah.
That's what I totally disagree with. But yeah, I do think a lot of the baddies that we saw get destroyed here will come back. And I do hope that in the second movie, we see good guys and bad guys die. Like, I want it as a true, like, oh, just the good guys come in and clean house again. I'm still really disappointed we didn't lose anybody on the good side.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like, why even worry about a second movie when the good guys have already dominated these people?
You know, looking at these new games, I don't know a lot of it, but I have seen that it gets into crazy time travel shenanigans and alternate universe shenanigans. Ooh, what if they met Zack Snyder's Justice League for a crossover?
Just go full on with it.
I'd be all about it.
Last thing on this movie, what did you think of Reptile?
I thought Reptile looked really cool. I mean, it was interesting that we only ever got to see him in reptile form. Like, he's just a reptile that Kano kills early in the movie.
Part of me wonders if that wasn't really Reptile, because he doesn't get introduced as Reptile. He gets introduced right. as the Reptilian something and then his name.
So it's just a tease.
Maybe.
The real Reptile might still be coming down the pike.
Who knows? At this point.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. I mean, Reptile was the worst looking thing in the old movie.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a big upgrade from that standpoint. But he's also just in one scene. So he appears, he gets killed, and then we move on. So he's not that, you know, I would have forgotten to talk about him if you hadn't just brought him up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anything else you want to bring up or do you want to rate?
I would like to talk about Benjamin Wallfish's music.
There's only one thing I even recognized in the whole, or cared about in the whole movie. So go ahead and go for it.
Yes. So I'm assuming you're referring to just before the final Scorpion Sub-Zero fight when it teases the Techno Syndrome theme by the Immortals.
Yes.
Yes. That's the only moment that stood out to me also. I would say in terms of competence, and again, this goes back to this being... feeling almost like a real movie, you know, like a real big budget Hollywood film. It is several levels above the score for the old one. But this movie also doesn't have a whole soundtrack of songs that it's dropping in. So
mm-hmm.
It's very much just dependent on the score. And the score, while like technically competent and from a production standpoint, obviously high budget, has the same issue to me that Monster Hunter does, where it feels like, oh, it's just a completely anonymous, modern, generic film score with a little bit of an electronica chiptune element to it. And nothing really, none of the themes stuck with me. Nothing stuck out to me, except for when it teased the Techno Syndrome, which it did once in the entire damn thing. And they just needed to use that more. They needed to do mm-hmm. more. There's so many cool things that you could do. Like, imagine like a big... like a techno plus orchestra kind of adaptation of that thing, you know, just making it as lavish as possible. There are so many cool things that you could do with that theme to integrate into the film score if you wanted to actually use it. They just did it in the laziest, most obvious way.
The only reason I disagree with you is if they did it like that, you'd get sick of hearing it. Like, if you hear the same kind of theme.
I'm not saying bombard us with it all the time, but give it like two or three maybe big moments where it can actually shine.
I really, really liked where they put it. As you said, mm-hmm. it's obvious, but that made that moment in the movie feel so much better.
It's true. It does make that one moment feel special. But again, I think that he could have done way more of the orchestration.
Yes. I mean, I wish the rest of the music was better, for sure. But as far as the old theme coming in,
okay,
I do
maybe
like...
it didn't need the old theme, but it needed like something else to grab you.
Yeah, I agree.
It was not as generic and ill-fitting as Monster Hunter.
By the way, shout out to another W2M product, Metal Hammer of Doom.
Yeah?
They did an episode, I believe last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Where
on the
they
Mortal Kombat soundtrack?
Huh?
On the Mortal Kombat soundtrack?
On the first Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Mm. All right, I need to get to that.
It was pretty good. They came out Tuesday with one for... the soundtrack for Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, which I love that soundtrack. So I need to listen
great
to
soundtrack.
That still. But but yeah, I listened to that podcast when it came out. And again, that soundtrack was the first soundtrack I ever bought. And then you showed me that it's like $80 now to get. So if you want to listen to snippets of the Mortal Kombat theme.
Well, on CD, yeah.
Yes. Or you can go to Amazon Music.
That's true. Oh, we're doing these plugs. I thought we only did the plugs in regular episodes.
Well,
you can
just do Amazon Music on this plug.
Sure, yeah. Amazon Music is a place where you can go to subscribe to their gigantic library of music.
Get amazonmusic.com/W2M network to listen to the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. The first one, not this one.
Well, you can listen to this one is on Amazon Music as well.
Yeah, but you don't want
so
to.
So you can listen to... I haven't even gotten to my biggest thing yet with this.
Sorry, go ahead.
My biggest point about this is the new version of Techno Syndrome. What do you think about it?
I don't like it as much as the first one, but I like this one more than I think a lot of people like this one.
I really, really miss the B section. The old B section is completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the big difference, so it starts out normal. It starts out basically what you'd expect a modern, more, polished, maybe synth version of that theme. And then the point where normally the B section comes in, it doesn't. And it just loops. It repeats the same main, the A section again. And then after it has repeated the A section twice, it goes into a whole new, like three different whole new sections. The first one of which sounds like one of the themes from Duke Nukem 3D. It sounds like Duke Nukem music to me. Listen to all this other stuff that has nothing to do with the original theme, and none of it is as good.
True, yes. If you listen to the whole song, I will agree. The first one's better.
And he doesn't use them in the score.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind.
He's saving it for the sequel.
I don't understand modern film music. I grew up on film music being very leitmotivic, you know, where you can say, that's Luke's theme. That's right. The love theme for Han and Leia, you know? But anyway, disappointing. Soundtrack-wise, but
yes, I agree.
On the other hand, what you would expect from a movie like this? I'm just used to Hollywood movies being like this now, so maybe I'm just a broken record.
Well, we haven't watched a lot of newer movies here, so we've only really heard that from Monster Hunter in this. We didn't really talk about soundtrack in Sonic, I don't think, because there wasn't much there. Are you ready for a score now, sir?
Yes, I'm extremely ready to hear your score. I cannot wait, in fact, where you're going to fall relative to the old movie. Actually, first for... just for reference, I gave 95 a 6.5.
Yes, you
and
did.
And I think you gave it a 7.5.
I did.
Okay. So that's our baseline for the Paul W.S. Anderson.
And
so where do you put this one?
I put this one... I went back and forth after I watched it the second time. Because I watched it by myself, and then me and the girlfriend watched it. And then I watched it a couple days ago because I knew we were getting ready to record. I've been back and forth whether I like this more or less than the 95 movie. The 95 movie just has a place in my heart, and I love the cheesiness of it and the not taking itself so seriously. Obviously, there's a lot of things that did not age well. There's a lot of things that were not good even back in 95, but I just love it too much. So, as you said, I gave the original one a 7.5, so I'm giving this one a 7.
Wow. See, I think this is better than the 95 version, which is why I'm also giving it a 7.
That's funny. It all works out.
Yes. Yeah, I just genuinely, to me, this is probably the second best movie we've done.
According to your rankings, it is.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. But it is not a, you've actually watched it 3 times, which I would not rewatch this.
I only did because, again, I watched it. I wanted to watch it when it came out, and the girlfriend was doing a work party. And so I'm like, screw it, I'm watching it. And then we watched it a couple of days later. And then, like I said, it was a week and a half. And I'm like, what are better to do the refresher for this? So I don't see myself watching it again for a while.
That's the to be fair, I mean, I don't see myself watching the 95 again for a long time. I like having it in the collection, and I'll probably watch it in a few years, but.
All right, so that makes it my tied for third for my favorite movies. So I have Ace Attorney, Mortal Kombat, the original, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Mortal Kombat 2021. Those two are tied for
this
third.
This is so much better than Sonic the Hedgehog. It's crazy.
And for you, it is your second best movie. You had Ace Attorney far and above at an 8.5, and then back-to-back Mortal Kombat.
That's still, man, what a so I like, Ace Attorney, what a pathetic top three for movies.
It's funny when we combine our scores. It's Ace Attorney, and then because I went down and you went up, both Mortal Kombats are tied for second right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's, you know, balanced as all things should be.
Yes, and our worst four movies are all Resident Evil. It makes me laugh every time I look at our list. And it will not change for a little
until
bit.
Until we do UV Bowl.
Until we do UV Bowl, until we watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Maybe Super Mario Brothers, maybe Double Dragon. There's a lot of crap.
So here's my question. Do you want to just get Annihilation over with?
That's up to you, because you were really excited to watch
Warcraft.
Yes. So that,
you don't care.
If you want to finish the now trio of Mortal Kombat movies, I am fine with that. If you would like to wait a little bit and watch Warcraft next, the option is yours.
All right. Let's do Warcraft. Okay. Hopefully the listeners won't be too upset, but I need a break. And I'd also just, here's an important thing to remember about everything that I've said on the last few shows we've recorded. I don't care about Mortal Kombat as an IP. Never have, never will.
It's not our thing, and so, that's fine.
I'm just looking at these as movies. You know, they're fun B-movies.
Absolutely. So that will be our next episode in 2 weeks. It'll come out about May 21st. We were going to watch Warcraft and take a small break from everything Mortal Kombat, as we've done it the last two. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. Wherever you're listening to, give it a like or a comment or all the other internet-y podcast-y things. Make sure to check out Amazon Music, of course. And that's Jens. You can message him at Aperture Silence on Twitter. You can message me at Randy Isbell. Or you can message us as a show at @chapter_select. But for now, that's Jens. I'm Randy. And we will see you in the next chapter.